Down to business on News Talk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, supporting enterprise locally through the National Enterprise Town Awards.
Now, with as many as 2.5 billion people worldwide currently diagnosed with myopia, the rate of short-sightedness is estimated to rise to 5 billion by 2050. And you would have to wonder, would you not, if the rise of smartphones is contributing to it. This week, we're discussing the business of opticians for the Industry Review. I'm now joined by Seamus Flynn, CEO of Sapphire Eyewear from Inniscarra in Cork, Stephen Alwell of Stephen Alwell Opticians in Longford, and Liz Grennan, corporate optometrist with Optical Rooms in Dublin. You're all very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Gavin.
53106 is the text number, as always, if you want to ask a question. Text costs 30 cent. Now, Stephen, I'll start with you. That figure on short-sightedness is very high. I mean, basically a third of the world population, potentially. What's causing this?
A lot of what's causing the increase in short-sightedness is, I suppose, the increased amount of time that people are spending in full-time education. It's the increase in time that people are spending on smartphones, tablets, PCs, and I suppose the technological age that we live in. It's the lack of outdoor time that people have. And all of this is contributing to people becoming short-sighted earlier and becoming more and more short-sighted through their teens. And it is becoming an epidemic, and and it is something that definitely needs to be looked at in terms of our healthcare system.
Yeah, it's an interesting point about the education. I wouldn't have thought of that, but I suppose it's positive, obviously, that more people are getting a better education, but this is a negative side effect of it. Now, Seamus, you guys at Sapphire Eyewear, you've just launched your own range of eyewear, which is designed, I think, to combat some of these issues around screens. Why don't you tell me a bit about your business?
Yeah, so basically I set up the company because I noticed a huge increase in the number of people presenting to practice with suffering from digital eye strain. So they're getting the strain from the blue light that comes from the digital devices. And obviously that increase is correlating to the increase in both the number of devices that we're using now and the amount of time that we're spending on them.
So what do your glasses do that actually tackle this problem?
Yeah, so basically what our glasses do, we have specialized lenses in them that filter out the blue light. So it basically, it's a number of reflective layers on the glasses that both absorb blue light and reflect it. So the blue light isn't entering the eye. So basically on the visual spectrum, the cornea absorbs all the wavelengths of light except for the blue. So the blue light comes through the cornea to the retina, and that harmful blue light then leads to side effects like eye strain, tired eyes, headaches, and can even cause sleep disturbances if you're using those devices late at night.
Presumably the problem's only going to get worse.
Yes, because, like as I said, there's been a huge increase in the number of it. Like, we're, the figures out recently have shown that we're using smartphones for 3 hours a day on average. And then if you add in the other digital devices like our PCs and laptops and whatnot, it's definitely something that's on the increase.
Yeah, you'll be coining it. You'll be coining it, Seamus. Now, Liz, you do something a bit different. You're not on the high street. You're in-house with corporates. Why have you gone down that road?
Well, because everyone is time poor now, as you know. And so it's really from a convenience factor. People like to be able to access things at work. So that should maybe include wellness things such as optometry. And also the larger corporates started about 5 or 6 years ago introducing wellness centres, and so that their employees can benefit from their health policies that they have and use them in-house. The employees are delighted because they feel valued and they feel that their company is looking after them, and also they know that they're getting a good service, and also they're saving their time. And the employer is delighted because the employee's only away from their desk for a short time. They get great productivity back and just a sense of well-being in the workplace. Yeah. Really,
so the idea is, you know, you can, instead of going out on the street to do their messes, you can, they might have a dry cleaner in the office and an optician and various other things. Now, you mentioned optometry there. Just explain, what's the difference between an optician and an optometrist?
Well, the new thing is we are all now, the proper term is optometrist, as someone who actually tests the eyes and decides what type of glasses, contact lens, etc. that you should have. Optician is the sort of traditional word that would have been used, but that can either be someone who tests eyes or someone who just, who makes the glasses, but who isn't actually qualified to test. So an optometrist is someone who does the testing and then can pass on the prescription to someone to actually then make up the glasses.
Well, that's a very succinct explanation. I'll have to update my vocabulary now. Thanks very much for that. Now, Stephen, you have a retail unit, and the big trend in retail, of course, is the rise of e-commerce. So tell me a bit about your business in Longford. I mean, has there been an issue around declining footfall on the streets?
Not so much. excuse me. The e-commerce thing is something that has been taken off over the last number of years, and some of the largest companies in the world own a lot of the e-commerce sites. But e-commerce has a lot of pitfalls, because you can very easily get your prescription from your optician or your optometrist. But it is only numbers on a page to you. Whereas when you actually go into your optometrist, basically we would sit down, we would spend a long time discussing your visual needs with you, what you do for a living, what you do in your leisure time, and how you use glasses, how you use your eyes, what you want the glasses to do for you. And that all comes through the eye test, and then it comes through in the actual consultation with our trainee dispensing optician, Marie, and it comes through that basically we will find out exactly what you need. We will take a lot of measurements that you can't take for yourself, so you can't transfer them to an online.
So it's more up to date, I suppose, as well. It's that personal service. You're there. You can get the most up to date diagnosis, I suppose. Mm. Now, Seamus, have you noticed that Stephen has got a very trendy pair of frames on there?
Nice.
I wanted to ask you about, because you're making your own glasses, what are the trends in terms of frames at the moment? I see a lot of people seem to be wearing the John Lennon granny glasses. They seem to be back with a bang.
Yeah, recently there has been a big trend towards old style glasses. So we'll say in the last 10 years or so, there was a big trend towards smaller and smaller frames. But it's gone right back now to just bigger oversized frames, and even frames like from the 80s have come back with the double bridge, like we say with Stephen's glasses there. He's got a double bridge going on. They're definitely the styles that are coming back at the moment again.
What has been the trend in terms of contact lenses versus glasses? I mean, does it kind of fluctuate from one towards the other?
No, I think that was originally when contact lenses were coming in, there was a bit of concern that, you know, it would take over. But really, anyone who wears contact lenses will also have a pair of glasses as well, you know, because it's not recommended to wear glass or contact lenses for too long a period of time, because you wouldn't be getting quite as much oxygen through to the eyes, you know. So it's really, they go hand in hand, really, you know, and there's more and more people wearing contacts all the time now, because the technology and the contact lenses are improving constantly.
So I suppose that's kind of a win-win for you guys. You can sell the contact lenses and the glasses to people as well.
It's another thing to add to the business as well, yeah.
Liz, your relationship with the people who are coming into you, is it different when you're sort of a corporate service than it might be if you had a shop on the high street?
No, because the companies that we go into, we have been going into them for a long time. Say something like in Microsoft, I've been going in there for over 4.5 years. There's such a large amount of employees there that it's sort of like a small village, and they do actually treat their wellness area and all their services as if it was their own little village high street. And so people will come into me for regular checkups. It's not just a one-off. They'll come back after a year for their contact lens checkup, or bring their children in, bring their spouse in, and then they'll be back themselves after 2 years. Or if they're going away on holidays, they'll come in for their sunglasses, or just pass on the information. Like, word of mouth is great in the corporate space as well. So they do actually treat it as they would usually treat their local sort of high street, you know, optician's shop, which is great. So we do, because we've sort of been in these corporate spaces for so long, they know that we're not going to run away. We're not any.
And you mentioned Microsoft. I mean, what are the types of companies that tend to have these facilities on offer?
A huge variety. As I say, we are in a lot of IT companies, the likes of Apple and Microsoft and Intel. But we also go into companies like, we've been in hotels, we've been in anywhere really will take us in. We've been in the Abbey Theatre, you know, anywhere at all that has even a small number of employees can have us in for a day or a half day. Because we are just like your high street optician, the usual benefits apply. You're not paying any extra or anything like that. So
okay. So now, earlier we were talking about ethical bed linen on the programme, and I wonder, does this trend of people looking for more sort of sustainable products extend through to you guys? I mean, are you getting people asking you, well, these frames, are they ethically manufactured, this kind of thing?
We do, and we take a lot of interest in sort of trying to find out what are the new trends. So we're actually moving into more sustainable eyewear, having some brands coming in that are made from reclaimed marine plastic, such as C2C frames, and we're sourcing other ones. So that's going to be, I think, one of the new big things in eyewear, just that it's a bit more sustainable. We try and take our lead from the corporate area that we're in. They will all have green teams, and we would sort of go and chat with them about how to make maybe even what we're doing on site a little bit more, have a smaller carbon footprint, and just moving forward. And people, everyone wants to be more ethically and sustainable in everything. So eyewear is such an intrinsic part of a lot of people's lives that it makes no sense not to or to ignore that.
You text in from listener Joe in Crumlin. Stephen, I might ask you this one. Joe says, I have only recently had difficulty in reading instructions on packaging. What is likely to have led to this? I'm in my mid-40s and always had perfect eyesight.
Well, for somebody in their mid-40s, unfortunately, this is just a natural part of life. Inside of the eye, we have a flexible lens that changes shape depending on where you look. So when you look in the far distance, this lens is a completely flat shape. And when you look at something up close, it basically scrunches up, okay, to increase the power of the eye and give you better vision for something up close. But as we get older, as we grow, this flexible lens becomes less and less flexible. It becomes harder. And generally, somewhere in the late 30s, early 40s, people start having a little bit of a problem seeing things up close. And this continues in a kind of a slow enough change from the 40s to the 70s. And it means that people begin to need glasses for reading, glasses for computers, things like this. And it means that people who have been wearing glasses all their lives begin to need a different type of glass, starting with something maybe to help them with digital devices or something to help them with full-on reading, like a varifocal, bifocal,
yeah,
that sort
so
of thing.
So the ageing population, I suppose, is probably a good trend for you guys as well. We have another text from a listener called Mark. Liz, I'm going to ask you this one. When does it become apparent that your child has poor eyesight? My wife wears glasses, but I have no problems with my eyesight. What should I watch out for to know if my son needs glasses?
It's sometimes quite difficult to find out if a child needs glasses because a lot of their world is literally within maybe a foot and a half of them. If you think about what they're doing all day, they don't really look a lot into the distance. Things you can look out for are them closing one eye or covering one eye when concentrating on something. A more obvious thing would be a turn in their eye. So if they're looking at something, whether it be far away or close up, you may notice that one eye maybe isn't looking in exactly the same direction. Or if they sort of are maybe blinking a lot, sometimes that can be just a sign that they're not quite seeing well. The best thing to do is just get them tested. Children can be tested from any age in your opticians, from literally a year upwards. You're obviously not going to be asking them to read letters, but we can do so many tests to check that. Are their eyes healthy? Are they both seeing the same thing, and are the muscles working in the right way? And basically, is the eye developing as we'd expect from birth right up till the age of about five? And then if glasses or correction is needed, up till about the age of 12 is the really important time to catch it, because that's when the eye and the brain connection is developing, so that the brain is learning to interpret what signals are coming into the eye. So it is important, even if you think that your children's eyes are perfect, to maybe bring them along, because perhaps some great aunt some time ago had some problem and it needs to be picked up perhaps sooner than you would think from just the child communicating that they have a problem.
Okay, we've getting loads of questions coming in. I'll come back to some of them in a minute. But Seamus, I wanted to ask you about Sapphire, because obviously you've made the decision to take the leaps and set up your own business, manufacturing eyewear. What's your plan to scale up?
Yeah, so basically we've only been trading now for the last 3 months or so. So we started off kind of testing the market with influencer and affiliate marketing.
Is that really important, the influencers?
It is, and we got great traction through Instagram in particular, because obviously Instagram is a very visual media and works quite well with the glasses. You know, it seems to be a big trend at the moment, but you know, we're just looking to scale up now in the next month or so, going to like increasing the digital marketing spend. We're already selling in the UK and the US markets, like, so we're looking to go global as soon as we can, and there's a big opportunity for that there.
Where are you at on funding? Are you looking at raising a few bob?
No, we've bootstrapped it completely so far, so we're going to kind of keep that going as much as possible, but down the line, yeah, we would be interested in looking at funding opportunities.
Very interesting. Okay, we've loads of questions coming in. Stephen, I'm going to ask you this one. How does smoking impact on eyesight? It mentions it on the packaging of cigarettes now. That's from Marion.
Well, smoking can lead to a lot of problems in the eyes, from very simply dry eyes to very devastating macular degeneration. So macular degeneration is a condition that affects a lot of people as they get older, and it has three main risk factors, one being a family history, one being getting older, and one being smoking. And smoking is the only one you can do anything about. And macular degeneration actually leads to quite devastating blindness, where you lose the very central part of your vision. So you can see everything around you, but when you try and focus on faces, you can't see
right.
When you try and focus on reading or anything directly in front of you that you're directly looking at, you can't see it. And that's one of the major impacts of smoking on vision, and one of the things that people need to be educated about.
Yeah, another reason to give up the smokes. Liz, I'm going to ask you this question from Carl. We've just been talking about cigarettes. Carl in Dublin 11 wants to know, does drinking alcohol affect eyesight?
I'm not so sure. I think, not as much probably as smoking, but anything in excess isn't great for any of you. And really, the eyes are just one of the external parts where that we can actually see where damage is. So whereas alcohol may affect all of your body, we may be able to see that damage actually in the eyes, in effects in the blood vessels and the back of the eye, especially. So I say often things like alcohol, smoking, diabetes and cholesterol, whereas you may not be feeling huge effects at all, we may be able to pick up early changes within the eye, and if they are actually visible in the eye, it means that other things are going on in the body as well, so it needs to be checked out. So that's why sort of regular checkups are really important.
Stephen, I'm going to ask you this one. This listener here says, I'm 37, wear glasses since I was a kid. For the last 2 years, my eyes water a lot, actual tears streaming.
So funnily enough, watery eyes are generally a sign of dry eyes, and the watering is a reflex in the eye to wash out a perceived foreign body when the eyes are dry. And a lot of the time, it is due to environment. So somebody who's 37 years old, most likely doing plenty of work on computers, smartphones, tablets, potentially working in air-conditioned environments or driving a lot. And as most of us are in Ireland, dehydrated more or less constantly. And all of this can lead to dryness in the eyes, and that can lead to this reflex reaction for the eyes to water. There can be other reasons why the eyes water, but that tends to be the most common. And the main thing to do would be to visit your local optician or optometrist, let them have a look at you and figure out what exactly is going on, and find out a way to resolve it.
The company we haven't mentioned yet is Specsavers. Very, don't know what I say, dominant, but they're obviously a very big presence in the market. And James, I'm going to ask you about them first. Presumably you want to get Sapphire eyewear in there. What's it like trying to achieve that?
Well, so Specsavers are obviously the would be the dominant player on the high street, but they don't actually sell glasses online. So they wouldn't be a direct competitor of myself, you know. So they would display their glasses online, but they don't actually sell them, so you can't buy them as you would on an e-commerce store. As I said, they wouldn't be a direct competitor.
Stephen, they would be a direct competitor of you, though, I presume. I don't know if they have one in Longford, but, you know, in general, how does an independent optician like yourself compete with somebody like that?
In point of fact, we don't tend to compete with Specsavers. Specsavers tend to compete with themselves. They continually open more and more stores closer and closer to each other, and they generally just take business from each other. In terms of a small independent optician, the main point is actually differentiating yourself from the Specsavers. So in terms of my business, what we do is we take a personal approach to every patient. We know their names. They're not just a number. We spend 45 minutes testing their eyes. So we get to know them. We get to know what they like, what they don't like. We get to know what they do for a living. We get to know how they use their eyes. We then spend another 30 minutes or so in a styling consultation. We don't make people stand up in front of a rack of 300, 400, 500 pairs of glasses and tell them to take their pick. We actually sit down with them, we discuss with them what they need, and we hand pick glasses while they sit with coffee.
So it's all, for you guys, it's all about giving that extra level of service.
And all about quality and
developing a good relationship with a customer, I suppose. Yeah, we'll finish up then with one last question. This one's for you, Liz. It says, "Hi, my 9-year-old daughter wears glasses for reading, but she wears them all the time. Is this good for her eyes?" That's from Mark and Ducky.
If she's wearing them full time, hopefully it's just with the advice from your optometrist. Usually up till about the age of 12, as I was saying earlier, just that children's eyes are still developing. So it is quite common for younger children to need to wear their glasses full time, even though when they take them off, they will actually see quite well. The reason being that you're maybe strengthening the muscle of the eye as well as improving the visual input to the brain and allowing it to sort of learn how to see and how to work the two eyes well together. Often after sort of or into the teens, it depends on the prescription. They may not need to use their glasses as much, or most likely they may not want to use their glasses as much. But yeah, it can be quite normal for children to be wearing their glasses full time, definitely up until the early teens anyway.
Really interesting discussion, guys. Thanks for all those brilliant tips. We leave it there. That's Seamus Flynn, CEO of Sapphire Eyewear from Enniscarra in Cork, Stephen Alwell of Stephen Alwell Opticians in Longford, and Liz Grennan, Corporate Optometrist with Optical Rooms in Dublin.